This is our church anniversary, and this year we are celebrating the 200th anniversary of the Baptist movement starting in Lidbrook. They apparently, in 1823, started meetings in a reading room, which we think was down the bottom, underneath where the viaduct was still to be built at that time. Then this church itself was built in the 1850s, but the movement started early.
Lord, we stand in a community where for 200 years and more, when we look at the Anglican Church, people have stood, sat, knelt, and worshipped you. And Father God, throughout those 200 years and the many thousands before, and all that lies ahead, you have and will always be faithful. And so, Father, we thank you that we have awoken today to new mercy, new blessing, new grace, new faithfulness, new presence, new hope, and new life given to us fresh every day. Lord, we don't live under yesterday's blessing. We live in today's. Because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God who is here and who is present. And the God who has loved us with an everlasting love. And so, Lord God, this morning we say, great is your faithfulness. Simply because you are a faithful and great God. And everything we have flows from you. And so, Lord God, we bless you this morning. And we love you. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you are. And all that you mean to us. Bless you, Lord. Amen. You know, we are celebrating today 200 years, apparently, since Baptists moved in. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. But of course, most of you know that the dissenting Baptist movement, as they were called, at that time in history, was moving away from the established church, really. And so it was first planted out in Ryford. That's correct, isn't it? The first was planted from Ryford. Now, that little chapel in Ryford, which I think is a village hall now, is it, or a house or something, is, you know, the movement of Baptists throughout the forest, whether that's here, originally at Lays Hill as well. We were planted out of Lays Hill, weren't we? In Watford, I believe, yeah. And, of course, Gorsley was planted from them, and Kempley and all the little chapels out that way, and then into Cinderford and Zion in Longhope. Amazing, really. And many of those churches still continue to witness today. But, you know, the world is quite a different place, isn't it, to what it was 200 years ago. I wonder what they would think about things today and what they would make of it. Yet one thing is probably true, isn't it, that if you were to talk to them, and if you would talk to us, and if we were to talk to anybody in history, we would all have one thing in common in a changing world, and that is that we could see the hand of God in our lives, and that we would be able to testify to the goodness of God as we look back. My short message this morning is entitled, Don't Forget to Remember, and Remember to Forget. I often find anniversaries a strange thing, really. They are a mixed bag of emotions, aren't they? Now, officially, the dictionary says, an anniversary is the date on which an event took place or an institution was founded in a previous year, and may also refer to the celebration of that event. And apparently it was first used by Catholics to commemorate saints. But of course, anniversaries are sometimes good ones. You might have the anniversary of your wedding. I don't know. I don't think anybody's been married 200 years. So there's something for each wedding anniversary, isn't it? Is it like a stone or something? Does it go from wood to paper to, I don't know, to too long? I don't know what it gets to. But there's wedding anniversaries, and often you get the old wedding photos out. I was going through some photographs recently of my parents. And their wedding, the glasses, why did those big pointy glasses? And even my great-grandparents' weddings. You look back, don't you, with fondness often, and remember things that have happened, maybe the birth of children, or that lovely holiday you went on, or the first house you bought, your first car. Anybody remember their first car? Mine was a Talbot Samba, had electric windows that went down. And sort of went up. you sort of had to help. And had a digital clock. How exciting was that? I remember my first car. So we have anniversaries where we remember things, often with fondness. But not all anniversaries are happy, are they? We have anniversaries sometimes of things that are less than good. Anniversaries of the loss of a loved one or an event in life. So anniversaries, I think, are a mixed thing. And yet we might also, from our anniversaries, recall things that we learnt, memories or things that remind us of things that we've learnt, or maybe some things we would rather forget. And then there are other things when we look back that we haven't even achieved yet. I was thinking the other week, I'm 50 now. That's still young, isn't it? 50. Or am I 51? I don't know how old I am. I was born in 1972. You do the maths. You know the story. I told you the story, didn't I, the other year when I forgot my age. And I thought I was 50. I was 49 until I typed my year of birth into a computer, a piece of software, which calculated my date, and I was only 48. I'd been living a whole year ahead of myself. So I thought, what's that tell you about me? What am I trying to say? Yeah, but in the midst of today's life challenges, and of course the memories, it is really helpful, isn't it, to notice God's hand on our lives. I know it's a bit old school, but I love the Footprints in the Sand poem. Most of you know it, the story of the man who has a dream and he looks and he sees him and Jesus walking, or he sees two sets of footprints in the sand. And Jesus talks to him about how that's them walking together through life. And then, of course, he has another part of the dream where the storm comes and it's black and it's dark and there's only one set of footprints. And he says to God, "Why did you leave me when I most needed you?" And, of course, he said, "No, I didn't leave you. I was carrying you." And I know we know it well, but it's a powerful reminder that God walks alongside us. You know, the Bible is full of stories and people and situations where at times it might look like God has disappeared, but then you look back in the story, you stand back from the story, and you see God was there all along. You see, God is in every moment, isn't he? And he's there all the time. And when we talk about God, it is really good to think about his character, because everything about who God, what God does in the world, is about his character. It flows out of who he is. I was saying to church at Gorsley last Sunday, God doesn't have bad days. You know, he doesn't wake up like you and I do, a bit hangry or moody, or it's just a good job, because you do realize that as God thinks and he speaks, things come into being. And so it's a good job, isn't it? He doesn't have a bad day. He's constant. So on this anniversary, let's not forget to remember the God who has journeyed with each of you individually, but journeyed with us as a community of God's people, both now and in history. Let's remember the God who is always faithful, the God who is always true. We can lean into his word. Again, I was sharing last Sunday. In the story of Adam and Eve, it's not in my notes, but I'm going to digress. In the story of Adam and Eve, when the enemy and the devil challenges Eve, remember what he says to her? Did God really say? And I was thinking about that. But then she says, yeah, he did. He did say, no, I got it right. So the enemy changed tactics. And he said, surely you won't die. And in that moment, what the enemy's doing is he's not challenging what God said. He's challenging God's character. He's saying God's a liar. But of course, we know the opposite. God is truth. And so when God says to us that he's loved us with an everlasting love, guess what? He's loved you with an everlasting love. When he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, guess what? He'll never leave you or forsake you. Because God is truth. He speaks truth. So we know from his word that God is truthful, that he's all powerful. There's nothing that can take you out of his hands. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. God is good, and he is kind, and he is gracious, and he is gentle. God is a provider. There's never a moment in our lives when we do not have what we need. Now, that I know that might seem challenging, particularly for people who maybe struggle financially, but God is our provider. He watches over us. I love that song, you know, for his eye is on the sparrow. He watches over us. God is our creator. That means each of you in this room are fearfully and wonderfully made. In the very image, the divine image of God. Gosh, in a world where we so often compare ourselves to others, we need to remember that God loves you just as you are, made in the image of God. I know I've said this many times. I love the story of the woman caught in adultery, that when he straightens her up, what does he see? He sees his father. Right looking back at him is a woman made in the divine image of the Father. Isn't that lovely? And that's why Jesus was so compassionate. He didn't look at human beings as annoying or different or strange or not our class or not our religion. You know what I mean? He just looked at them and saw the divine image. God is infinite. He has always been and always will be. All of creation sits in the book hands of his hands. Nothing that's ever been or ever will sit outside of God. That should remind you that God is all-powerful, that he can do all things. He's all-knowing. You know those times when you wonder what God's doing? What are you doing, Lord? Where have you gone? He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. We can't hide from him. He's everywhere. I love the psalmist. If I rise, if I go down, if I go left, if I go right, God is always present. He's perfect in wisdom. Those times when we think, Lord, what are you doing? Or maybe, Lord, why does your word say that? But we're faithful to him because he is wise. He knows. God is right and just in all that he does. Always. And he is love. But my favourite, he is glorious. Wonderful. And full of majesty. That's what I love. The great King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So when we look back in history and we notice this wonderful, faithful, glorious, omnipresent, wise, wonderful God. And his hand is in all of history and the history of the church. But also, in looking back, and we remember not to forget all that God has done. Remember what the Old Testament says? Tell your children about God. Talk about him when you're walking, when you're sitting, when you're moving around. We must remember in the midst of all the challenges, and I know some of you are facing real challenges of health and other situations, to remember that the same God dwells with you. In the stillness of the night, when you're awake, in the moments of life, God is thinking about you and he's with you. But also, church, we can't live in the past. We need to learn to live in the present and prepare to face the future. And we do so knowing that God is always the same. In Malachi 3:6, for I, the Lord, do not change. He's not fickle like you and me. The grass withers, the flowers fade. We're seeing it out now, aren't we? The autumn leaves, everything's shrinking back. But the word of God will stand forever. The world is odd. Isn't, don't you think anybody else think the world is odd at the moment? I'm quite sure, have you ever watched those programmes? You know, it was all right in the 70s or all right in the 80s. And you think, do we really say that? There will be a programme, I said to my daughters, there will be a programme in about 20 years' time where people will say, did they really think that in the 20s? You know, all the chaos of our world. Let's remember that the word of God remains the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And in Philippians chapter 3, we read this. I press on to take hold of that which is Christ, Jesus, who took hold of me, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. What is he asking us to forget? He's not asking us to forget who God is or the faithfulness of God, but he's saying you must live in the now and keep pressing on for the things of God in the future. Because the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God who we serve, is the God of yesterday, but also today and tomorrow. The church must always bring what they know about God into the moment, into the future. I love John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. As we face our current culture and climate and world and individual situations, we do so knowing God's peace is present with us. We must remember to keep looking forward. So this anniversary Sunday, let's remember not to forget, and let's also not remember or forget to remember, you know what I mean? Let's look back and look forward. I love this text in John. I said, the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. So as we step into the next phase of the life of this church, remain in his love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So Lidbrook, my dear friends, keep close. Keep remembering. Keep forgetting. Keep looking forward. But most of all, rest knowing the same God who created the heavens and the earth, the same God who never changes, the same God who has been faithful to millions of people across hundreds of generations, is with you today. And finally, as we know, that one day our lives on this earth will be over, but the same faithful God will take you by the hand and lead you to the next great adventure. And guess what? He'll be exactly the same God, same character, for the eternal life that we have with him. There is so much in the past to praise God for, and so much yet unseen that we will praise him for. And as the hymn says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we'll have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And I think we might just sing, what a faithful God have I. Let's pray. Lord, you are so good and so wonderful. And we are so blessed and grateful to you for all that you have done in this church. Lord, thank you for this community of people. Lord, thank you for this church that's been a healing station, that's been a place of welcome. Thank you, Lord, for my dear brothers and sisters in Christ who are sat before me today. Thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness, for their love. Thank you, Lord, for their compassion. Thank you, Lord, that they've held on to you in all seasons. And thank you, Lord, that as we look back, you have held on to us. And so, Lord, as we sit here and remember all that you've done, we praise you for that. And we trust you for all that is to come. May the blessing of God Almighty rest upon this church and do great things, we pray. Amen. And so, Lord, we stand on the promises of God, the God who does not fail, and the God who said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me the rest of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So may the blessing of God Almighty, the God of promise, the God of faithfulness, the God of love, the God of grace, the God of mercy, the God of all power, and the God who is simply above all, bless you, rest upon you, grant you peace, flood you with his love, and give you his blessed assurance that you belong to him both now and forevermore. Amen.